So, oh, I said I wouldn't start with so. Tonight, two friends of mine coming, one from Salt Lake, one from Orono, Maine. So, Chris and Christian. And I thought it'd be really interesting to talk to these two tonight because they both actually have backgrounds or degrees, I should say, in outdoor education. Like they actually went to college, have degrees, undergrads in that. And then Chris actually has a master's in that. And then I'll have them explain their programs just a little bit more. But yeah, I'm going to be completely honest. I'm a little nervous about this conversation because I don't always have the best relationship with higher ed, especially in the outdoor education realm of things. And I know that there's some of that's just been personal experience. And then some of that, I just need to get some different perspectives and, you know, think about what I've experienced maybe in a different context. So I'm excited about this conversation, but I'm also a little nervous because I have a little baggage and I don't want to carry this baggage for the rest of my life. So, but let's just do this. Let's have each of you just introduce yourself and in your program and kind of like maybe specifically what your degree is in outdoor ed. There might be different versions of that depending on what school you go on to. And then we'll see where it goes from there. So either of you can start.
Chris, you want it?
Go for it, buddy.
I'm Christian. Went to the University of New Hampshire. I ended up finding my way into the outdoor ed program later in school. Dick, I also have some baggage in regards to higher ed. So I hear you on that one. I guess initially what led me there, I was kind of going down like the engineering, political science, business side of things. Didn't like that. I was kind of interested in education. I was pretty upset with how I was being taught in school, especially for the sums of money that we were paying. And so this was kind of like an alternative to being able to educate without having to fully restart. And it was a different opportunity that promoted a more active and healthy lifestyle. I was notified pretty quickly of the pay cut, and that's something that's hung around. But I figure I've kind of made up for that one with just a better quality of life. Our outdoor program, I guess it's fairly well known. And I like to think there are kind of two branches of it, the technical skill side of things, where you're getting an introduction to the hard skills that you'll use while you're facilitating. And then there's kind of the other side, the more academic perspective, which is like the philosophies of the methods and the theory behind some of the outdoor leadership practices, as well as being able to have a role where you're a TA or running some sort of trip for other undergrads. So it was a good opportunity to get my feet wet and realize that that lifestyle was even a possibility. So that's kind of how I've been able to reflect back on the program. And I'm sure I'll have more come up as we continue on. Figure your questions will help.
Nice. Chris, how about yourself?
So my name's Chris. I use he, him pronouns. I studied adventure education at Plymouth State University in New Hampshire. And then I went on to get a graduate degree in college student development with a concentration in outdoor program administration. And yeah, I kind of fell into the outdoor ed or the adventure ed program with very little background in the outdoors. I went on an outdoor orientation program, and that was like my first real introduction to outdoor education. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. And I asked my trip leaders, I said, how did you get into this? Like, how do you get this job? And they were all working for the outdoor center at that time. And they said, oh, we're all adventure ed majors. And I was like, what is adventure ed? And they went on to explain adventure ed. And coming from Stamford, Connecticut, where I grew up, I had a business interest and was going to school with the thought that I was going to study business, but really actually went in undecided. And after a year of being at Plymouth State, I decided that I wanted to jump into adventure education. Yeah.
All right. And, you know, I guess to maybe put some perspective on maybe explanation of my initial statement is, you know, when I graduated high school, like when I was, that was, you just went to college. So what you did when you kind of came in the socioeconomic, you know, realm that I came from, you just went to college. So I went to the University of Maine, and specifically to be part of the outdoor program there, Maine Bound, which I think people probably now have heard several times in other episodes. And at that time, there was really no outdoor ed degrees or minors. It was just this program that focus was on providing recreation and education in outdoor skills for both the students and the community, which is really cool. There was a lot of community involvement, but also it had a strong focus on developing outdoor leaders. And I was really focused on that. And I have to admit, organized formal education has never been my thing. So I was only spent a couple years, 2 years in the University of Maine before I was like, I'm done with this. Like, there's nothing here that I really resonates with me. I'm not going to class. I was really focused on becoming an outdoor leader and a guide. And at that time, there was no avenue for that academically. So I just quit and just went into the trenches and just started guiding and just working really hard from that point forward. So even though I have kind of this interesting reaction to higher ed, and it's not that I don't like education. I love education. I love learning. It's just that model didn't work for me. I also still see the real benefit of higher ed in this, because both of you clearly found some benefit to you. Like, you both found different avenues into life. You've got other skills. I've seen other people going through outdoor programs or being involved either in an academic path or even just in a recreational path within an outdoor program be very inspired to do this type of work. So there's not that there's no value in it by any means. I'm not trying to imply that. It's just I've had a kind of a rough relationship with that for various reasons. But both of you, so you went into the your initial program, but you both ended up finding yourself, surprise, surprise, guiding in Acadia Mountain Guides, kind of actually doing more of a more specific version of guiding, right? There's all kinds of types of guiding and leadership that happens in the adventure ed or outdoor ed world, but you actually kind of focused into climbing. So tell me, how did you get from your programs into more of a specific track into rock guiding or mountain guiding in particular?
Chris, you want that one?
Sure, I'll start. One of the few things I did before in the outdoors before I went, well, kind of in the outdoors, in the realm of outdoor education before I went to undergrad, was I climbed indoors in a climbing gym. And I only bouldered. I refused to learn how to rope climb for whatever reason. And I went to Plymouth where there was Rumney, and I bouldered outside. And then eventually when I started studying outdoor education, I took a class with Silas Rossi. That was my introduction to top roping class. And that class really taught me the skills that I needed to start getting into climbing in a more serious way. And I was so, so passionate about climbing and the growth and development that that gave me personally. You know, I struggled a lot when I was in high school, socially and interpersonally, and that climbing gave me confidence. It gave me this new sense of self that was really, really important to me. And that's really why climbing and mountain sports have been such a huge part of my life. And in my degree, I studied everything, you know, nature interpretation and canoeing and whitewater kayaking and mountaineering and rock climbing and all sorts of different skills. I took a Knowles course in Alaska where I went sea kayaking and backpacking, but climbing has, in mountain sports in general, have always kind of remained a home for me, and just because it's been so transformative for me. So I think that that's really how I found my path into climbing and mountain sports.
Nice.
Yeah, for me, it was similar too. I didn't really find climbing until college. Growing up, I played hockey, so that was just kind of all I realized there was. And then I had mentioned before, I kind of switched into outdoor ed later in my undergrad. It was actually halfway through my junior year. It ended with a little bit of a victory lap. So I was kind of like pushing through the program, and it was like a forced split between kind of working on climbing based skills or water based. It seems to be the split at UNH. So I kind of really sunk my teeth into the climbing side of things. There was a summer top rope course. It was like a week long, and I really enjoyed that. That kind of got me into things. It was essentially modeled towards the SPI program, which then fed into our lead climbing class and high angle rescue, which was actually my first exposure to Acadia. We went up there for a long weekend, and we were out on Otter Cliffs. It was a really cool opportunity to learn, and I was actually standing up on top of the cliff and saw some Acadia Mountain Guide shirts running around. I was like, wow, they look like they're doing something pretty cool here. And my instructor, he kind of like wandered up behind me. He's like, you know, you can do that. And like, you know, you do pretty all right for what's going on. So it wasn't long after that I found myself applying for the internship up at Acadia Mountain Guides. And that was kind of the short track from UNH to spending a number of years on the island.
Nice. You know, I think
it's actually funny too. Christian and I actually started the same year.
Really?
We just had very different paths getting there. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. All the years are just kind of like a mishmash in my head now. Like, I have no idea anymore. But one thing I think that you both alluded to that I think is really a positive and a really interesting thing about taking a degree, like a several year bachelor's degree program, is that you get exposed to a lot of different things, right? You oftentimes get different sports. It's not just climbing. You get exposed to backpacking, water sports, and that's a huge variety of things too. It also depends a little bit on the staff that is at that program, right? Because I've usually seen kind of like you mentioned, Christian, like there's usually kind of more of a terrestrial person and more of a aquatic person, right? And they have really good skills. And there's obviously there's the overlap that those skills have and that we do out there with, you know, soft skills and hard skills. And then also with the academic side of things, you know, I think that's a really interesting piece. And then layer that over several years of taking classes, gaining leadership experience, doing internships. You know, I think that is a pretty interesting thing, very different than my experience. You know, I just kind of like dropped out and then had to make it happen and just became, you know, a mountain guide and just kind of like dug in and try to figure out a lot of stuff, a lot of it on my own, to be honest. Yeah, sometimes I really look back at people look now at people who have that experience. I'm like, wow, I, you know, in school now, I'm like, wow, I just didn't, that wasn't available for me. And maybe I would have had a very different take on going to finishing college if that was available to me. It just wasn't a thing then. But think about now, you went into these programs and you both found yourself into Acadia Mountain Guides. And now you've gone through like an internship and then starting to like be on the guide staff. How do you feel your programs, your experience in your programs helped set you up for success in going into now like the professional world? Granted, a kind of narrow track of the professional world. It's like, all right, I'm going to go rock guide in Acadia. But how do you think there were some, or what are some things that might have set you up to kind of be okay coming into that?
I think for me, again, it goes back to like the opportunity to lead trips with other students. So that was already kind of helpful, having a little bit of that experience, specifically for me going into summer camps, which had a little bit more facilitation, which I wouldn't necessarily say is like what I would gravitate towards or a strength of mine. And I guess that in lies the split from the more experiential education or facilitation with kind of like the hard technical guiding that we do in Acadia. And so having both the experience to kind of lead things, I had a TA role while I was at UNH for multiple climbing classes. So I'd had the ability to kind of work out some of the kinks in, I guess, a more forgiving setting. And on top of that, being able to like work through those skills after going through the AMG internship and going back to that university program, but also being able to kind of like meld those together and then come back. I found that to be pretty helpful in dealing with people and, I don't know, being able to absorb the information that I was going to get, the fire hose of information in Acadia. I already kind of had like some of the base level stuff where I wasn't having to catch up.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that me, when I got to Acadia, it was a little bit different for me. I graduated my undergrad. I had done an internship with the White Mountain School, where I worked as a climbing coach and an intern for that program. So I got a lot of experience there. I had taken my AMGA SPI course and exam. And then I worked for Outward Bound for a couple of years. And I had this very different experience of running 15 to 30 day mountaineering expeditions in Colorado, and did that. And then in shoulder seasons would work ski patrol and ski instructing, and then would work for private high schools in the spring and fall to fill in between those seasons. And I came to Acadia Mountain Guides after I had done all of that. So I think that I just came in with a really different perspective. I had had lots of experience and was really confident with a lot of my skills, but not all due to school. It was because of a lot of different things that kind of had informed what I was doing. I think that directly from my program, the skills that I got were technical skills, but then also a lot of the theory of why was I even doing this? What is the value in what I'm doing? And I think that's what still fuels me to do this work today, is understanding that, you know, there's a lot of benefit that happens and you can change people's lives through this work, and having that passion and that understanding due to developmental theory and growth that you read about in textbooks and that you can study, that really is what inspires me. Now, I think that when I came into Acadia Mountain Guides, I was technically really challenged, actually, even though I had already had an SPI and all of these things. I think that the terrain in Acadia is really challenging. So that was probably the biggest challenge I faced while I was there. And, you know, taking my PCIA, SPI, and my rock guide course and preparing for those things really helped me round out my preparedness to be a guide that summer.
Nice. So I think about like when people go through experience, like an outdoor ed experience where it's at a college where you have such a broad kind of scope of things that you get introduced to, and really you're getting introduced to these things. You know, when you have such a broad scope, it's awesome for that diversity piece in terms of learning the theory and learning, you know, different types of skills, you know, however you want to call them, hard skills, soft skills, meta skills, whatever. But kind of looking at more of a full spectrum of things. But when you have a full spectrum, you oftentimes don't get the specificity that you need to actually maybe go into like a rock guiding summer, you know, for example. So what were some of the things that might've been challenging based on your education then going into the actual rock guiding, that were like, wow, this, I had no idea this was going to be like this, or maybe my program didn't quite get me ready for this, you know, this experience in particular. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to talk about this. I think that, it's probably the biggest challenge with academic programs. You know, there's, in my case, two professors that work at the university that I went to undergrad at, and, or work within the program there. And they're expected to be able to present on this huge array of topics, from teaching to facilitation to technical skills and all risk management, law, business management, all of these things. That's an incredible ask for someone, right? So it does lead to this like more shallow understanding of everything that you are presented. So I think that that's a real challenge with programs in general. And I think that I definitely didn't have the depth in knowledge specifically on, you know, terrain management and on site selection and on, as well as some technical proficiencies around anchor building and things like that, that I would have liked when I came to Acadia. But I think that also that came with challenges due to the difference. You know, I no longer had 15 days to work with students. It was like, okay, you have 4 hours to get your clients shop to shop. So you need to make sure that you're on point that entire time.
Yeah, the pace and intensity is a lot different when you're dealing with that kind of hour to hour, day to day type of guiding versus a longer experience, for sure. What about you, Christian?
That was actually something that came to mind, is like the rigor of just like the constant work in the rock guiding hustle of it, and, you know, being pushed to adapt to that and learn the skills necessary. I feel one of the things that could have prepared me better was maybe if that was also true of an outdoor education, like academic program. I feel like things can be a little bit gentle at times or forgiving. And I guess, yeah, maybe just like lack of like a push, so to speak, or like a drive to constantly improve. And I think part of that comes as well from just like a wide spectrum of people coming into the program, varying skill sets. I mean, I hadn't done anything outdoor related until I got into outdoor ed. And everyone learns at a different pace. But I think that, yeah, there's a little bit of babying that goes on than in a university setting. And that doesn't quite transfer over to like, yeah, real world, so to speak. So that was a little bit of a wake up. And I think along with that, there's like a little bit of an overconfidence baked into being like, you know, an outdoor ed student when you show up to your first outdoor related job. And it was impressionable to me, the number of people who did not have that experience and who could blow me out of the water. And it's clearly, yeah, a lot of paths can all bring you there. And so, yeah, I think that maybe like a lack of intensity didn't necessarily transfer over all that well. And then on top of that, what really blew my mind was going from like an institutional setting where there's so many different layers of security to make sure that those varying skill sets aren't going to, you know, end in some catastrophic event for the university. And then peeling those layers away, like once there, and kind of like, I don't know, being asked why you're doing something as opposed to like, this is what you do. And so I think maybe that independent thought would have, like the lack of developing that independent thought in some ways was a little bit of a hindrance.
Yeah, those are great points. I mean, I think about, you know, trying to put my own views on this into context. Like, well, you know, a college is a pretty sheltered place for a lot of people versus what they're going to gain in the real world. And that doesn't just mean outdoor or adventure ed. Like, you could do any degree in college and probably feel kind of similar going from the college to like the real world profession. And then also dealing with people who are in their early 20s, like you literally don't know anything. Like you can't, like you're too young. And, you know, even doing, going through this experience, you kind of get the confidence that you do know something, and you do, to be honest, you do know something, but you're kind of unconsciously incompetent about what the real world expects of you in various fields, whatever the program is. And I've seen that over and over and over again, working with people coming into the internship position who are like coming to the end of their outdoor ed programs, or people who have just graduated and now they're like going into guide staff, and they're kind of sideswiped a little bit by like the reality of what guiding can be, you know, especially where we are. It's high intensity. It's a lot of time in the field. You know, it's short duration, but you got to be on it, right? So you there's not a lot of room for error. And watching people go from those initial days and weeks when they're starting off, you've been like just getting smoked out there, you know, and then where they come out afterwards, especially with some time and reflection, it's a pretty amazing journey. And it's really interesting to hear people articulate like some of those pieces for sure. Now, Christian, you mentioned something earlier, and that was like, you switched into outdoor ed and then you're like, oh, there's a big pay cut in this. Right. And, you know, one of the things that blows my mind right now is how much higher education costs for most schools. It's in some schools in particular, it's insane. And, you know, the outdoor ed world is not a lucrative world. Very few people get lucrative jobs or even stable jobs, to be honest, in this world. So like, how does that play out for you two?
It's a work in progress always. It's challenging. It's definitely challenging. I was warned as I was like preparing to transfer over and kind of got the like, are you sure you want to do this? This really might not be a great idea, but I was in my young 20s and didn't know anything. So naturally I was just like, this sounds awesome. Sign me up. I've steered into the skid quite a bit. I've got a high monthly payment on my student debt. It's crushing. Part of that has been traveling around, seasonal work, living frugally, living out of a car. The parts of the industry that aren't as glamorous that are usually glossed over when we talk about how great things are. And then, I don't know, just kind of having, I don't want to say like the hope or faith that it's going to work out. I mean, somehow it usually does. But I've had credit card debt. I've had months that I've missed payments. I've been close to defaulting. And it does make me question what I'm doing. I have kind of stepped back from, I'm just keep patrolling now. So I guess I haven't stepped back from the outdoor industry. But I took a little time through COVID to kind of reassess and got another job. I realized that there's no linear path to guiding. And I don't know, I can kind of pick things up here and there and try and make it work financially. And I'm not here to get rich, but being able to afford maybe a more comfortable lifestyle, driving around the country a little bit less and just like scraping by always. So yeah, I'm not really sure where that comes back to the question. I kind of got a little rambly on that, but those are the challenges that I've experienced, I guess, from the financial side of moving through the outdoor world.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways I feel very fortunate for having dropped out of school. And, you know, I went to college in the mid 90s at University of Maine, which was not particularly expensive at that time. And so I essentially didn't have any debt, you know, when I came out, and that alone has allowed me to really kind of embrace this livelihood and kind of make it work, you know, and do okay. But it also has been on the back of like tons of days in the field, to kind of like make up the enough volume to actually make up a reasonable living. And even by most people's standards, if I told you what I made every year, which is fluctuates every year, depending on the guiding, it's not that much, you know. It's kind of good for rural Maine, you know. You can still go chop wood and grow chickens, and that's kind of helps out a lot. But, you know, you're certainly not going to live in New York City or probably Salt Lake, you know, by any means.
Got to find the deals. Yeah.
But now, Chris, you actually kind of on a different arc, right? So you went back, got your master's degree, and now you actually work in academia. You actually run an outdoor program at the University of Maine. You actually run Maine Bound at this point. So kind of tell us why you chose to go into that arc right? You kind of did the guiding thing, get the outward bound thing, but then you kind of went back in, kind of dug in a little bit more with the school side of things.
Well, honestly, it ties a lot back into financials, right? So I can kind of intertwine both of those. Yeah, when I worked for Outward Bound in ski patrol and ski instructing, I made between $8,000 and $12,000 a year. I didn't have a car. I lived out of 4 backpacks, and would hitchhike and take buses and trains and planes all around the country to get from job to job. And luckily I had a multitude of gracious friends that would allow me to sleep on their couches, and did that for, you know, 3 years, and ultimately found pieces missing in my life. One, of course, financial stability is like something that you have to like grapple with once you start getting further on into your 20s, I guess. And I was like, had this realization that I was like, I was fortunate, you know, my parents helped a fair amount with my undergraduate student debt, but I had to pay for half my school. So I still had, you know, some tuition that I had to pay for. And I made some good financial decisions and graduated early and was able to kind of work things out so that I was getting by. But I realized, I was like, okay, I'm 24. In 2 years, I have to be off my parents' health insurance. So how can I afford health insurance on $8,000 to $12,000 a year? And I was like, and also this lifestyle that I'm living right now doesn't allow me to build long-term friendships, build long-term relationships romantically or otherwise. And there were just like pieces of my life that I was really missing, having a car, things like that. And I was like, okay, I want some more stability and I want some to figure out how I can make this work long-term. So that was when I decided to get a master's degree. I was like, okay, I'm going to get a master's so I can get health insurance, that I can have a more stable life, and that isn't working 30 days in the field at a time and then coming back. I really think that, you know, my work at Mainbound is that balance that I was looking for. You know, I still count my days every year. I get about 90 days in the field every year, which is honestly shocking to me that I'm able to squeeze out that many. And, you know, I have, I live in a 2-bedroom house in Bangor with my partner and my dog. And those are all things that I really care about too. So I kind of found some balance there. And that was really a big motivating factor for me. The other big motivating factor on the other side of it was I kind of felt like I was living this like somewhat selfish lifestyle where I was just like going out and skiing and climbing as much as I could and just like kind of flying by the seat of my pants. And like I mentioned, I had lots of gracious friends that allowed me to stay with them, but I wanted to give back. And also I was having so many experiences working with students that were finite, right? You say bye to your students after 30 days and you've just built this awesome relationship with them, but you likely are never going to talk to them again. So I wanted to start building more long-term relationships with my students and really try to work with them to develop over a longer period of time. And that's really what my role now has done. I get to work with students for 3 to 4 years, sometimes longer and sometimes shorter, but it's really a beautiful balance in some ways.
Nice. Well, we're coming really close on time. So what I want to do is shut this part down and then we'll reconnect in a second. All right. All right. We'll be back.